Welcome to your home for Red Fox Athletic News. This is the Hartsville Sports Network podcast. Here are your hosts, Andrew, Damaya, and Antonio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hartsville Sports Network podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Jaworski, and today I'm joined by
Damaya Bishop
and Antonio Hicks.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and of course, the home of the Red Foxes, hhsredfoxes.com. Make sure to like, share, subscribe, and 5-star rate. So, how's our week been?
My week been good. I was just busy on my work.
Where you work at?
No, like my schoolwork.
Oh, schoolwork. Schoolwork been hectic recently. What about you, Antonio?
Oh, good. You know, I've been sore. I've been sore from Friday because that was like a big game, and you know, the two Myrtle Beaches teams, they're like a tough team to play against. And, like, you got to play your best, and you play against them. So I think I played like, you know, not my best, but I think I played like my best a little bit. And, you know, I came back over the weekend and was sore, so, you know, I had to rest up. So I really didn't, and I was chilling again.
How did you, like, personally feel going into that game, like, being the underdog? Because everyone, even I expected Myrtle to win.
You know, everybody was confident in, like, the new defense that they had. I mean, it wasn't really offense, because, like, I knew offense was going to do their thing, but it was, like, really the defense. Like, everybody was wondering, like, what defense was going to do because – you know, we switched our defense up, like, two times already. Mm-hmm. And with this being the second time, nobody really knew what our defense was about and what we was going to do. So as soon as we got down there, you know, it was a big surprise to our North Myrtle Beach, and we was able to come out with the dub.
I was shocked. Yeah.
I was going to go to the game, but I couldn't make it.
I was cheering on the sideline.
Yeah, I saw you.
Hey, you a cheerleader, I forgot.
Yeah.
Girls hoarse after the game. Didn't know how to act. What about you, Andrew?
My week been all right. I announced volleyball again the other day. Went pretty good. Got to do it again today. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's only a varsity game today, so I don't got to stay and watch my friends play JV because that's what I usually do. I just stay after school.
So you're nervous?
I wasn't nervous the other day. No, I did good. I was hyped. I've been hyped.
What about over the weekend? You been working on some, like, new music lately? Because, you know.
Oof. No, I'm just releasing old music right now.
I feel.
And then once that's all gone, I'll just, I guess, make new stuff.
All right.
And now it's time for our favorite segment, Red Fox Week in Review.
Looking back on September 20th, the Hartsville volleyball team defeated the Falcons of Dalton, ending in three sets. The first set, 25-15. The second set, 25-3. And the third set, 25-23. Leading the Red Foxes were juniors Emmy Isgett, 2 aces, 3 kills, 5 serves, 6 digs. Brooke Isgett, 8 aces, 10 kills, 2 serves, 11 digs. And Darisha McAllister, 4 aces, 12 kills, 1 block, and 3 digs. The Lady Foxes will be in action again today, Thursday, September 23rd, against North Myrtle Beach Chiefs.
And now for football. Last week, Hartsville traveled to North Myrtle Beach in a regional game on a 0-3 record on a vengeance for a win. The Foxes came out and played a good game, leaving them with their first regional win to place them third in the conference with the score being 45-20. The player of the game was Jason Anderson with 2 touchdowns and 160 yards and Antonio Hicks with 5 tackles and a tackle for a loss.
And that's our Red Fox Week in Review.
We would like to welcome to the show athletic trainer Brad Robertson.
Hey, guys. All right. Good to be here.
So how's your day so far?
It's pretty good. Pretty good. I'm getting ready for a normal day of practices. And like you guys said earlier, we've got a volleyball game tonight. So that's good.
That's you good. Nervous about this interview?
No, not too bad. I've been listening to you guys every week, so glad to be here. Ready to get it going.
We definitely appreciate the support.
Yeah. Glad to do it.
So where are you from?
So I grew up in Iowa, Southwest Iowa. I went to college in Nebraska, and then I moved here in 1997. Been in Hartsville since then.
What made you choose Hartsville?
The job, really. I went to school in Nebraska, and a friend of mine, had left there, got his master's degree at South Alabama, ended up in Hartsville working at a physical therapy clinic. He was an athletic trainer also. And there's a position open, and he's like, hey, you want to move to South Carolina? And I wasn't tied down. I was actually teaching high school in a small school in Nebraska at the time and not doing a whole lot with athletic training. So was able to come here, worked in the physical therapy clinic for a number of years, and kind of grew from there.
How you like the atmosphere down here, you know, sports-wise?
That's like, good. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. I mean, I think everywhere, every place, state has their, you know, they kind of identify by their sports. And but definitely South Carolina takes it to a high level.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to college at University of Nebraska at Kearney. Is NCAA Division II. It's a little bit smaller school, but it was a good school out in central Nebraska.
How many years did you go?
So I ended up going, I think by the time I was done, it was 5.5 years. I got my athletic training and got my education degree. So I student taught for a semester. So I think I believe it was 5.5 by the time I was done.
So did you play any sports growing up?
High school I did. I played 4 sports in high school, tried to play baseball in college, tried out, didn't make the team, but yeah, so I was around sports my whole life. My dad coached, so I was kind of like Coach E's kids, running around all the time after school, around practices and all that. So that was kind of me when I was young, and so been around it for a long time.
What sports did you play?
Played football, basketball, ran track, and played baseball. Our seasons in Iowa were a little bit different. Basically, basketball was the same, track was the same, but baseball actually started in May, went May through July with the school. So we played over the summer, so we were able to play 4 sports.
Which sport did you like the most?
Playing? It's a combination. I liked them all, really. I enjoyed playing football. My dad coached me in basketball, so that was, you know, we'd go home, watch film, all that stuff, and so I knew exactly what he was looking for, what he wanted us to do. I was point guard, so kind of ran the show on the court there. Track is track. It was, you know, it was that time of year. There wasn't anything else, so it was competition. It wasn't great. I run now a good bit, but that was just kind of, you keep doing something. And then I really liked baseball too. Played multiple positions in baseball, so. I like them all, really.
Was injuries a problem for you? You know, since you're an athletic trainer now, so like,
not really. A lot of athletic trainers will get into athletic training because they were hurt, and you know, the athletic trainer at their school worked with them and things like that. I did had a mild sprain in my MCL my senior year playing football, but we didn't have athletic trainers at my school. It was a real small high school, and back in the 90s, it wasn't as big as what it is now, athletic training. But that wasn't really the main reason I got into it. I think the reason I got into it was, one, I enjoy sports. So that's a way to kind of stay around sports and athletics. I was really liked the sciences, and I thought, well, maybe I could be a doctor or something like that after school, going into college. But once I got in athletic training, I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do. So.
For somebody who wants to pursue athletic training as a career, what steps do they have to take?
So things have changed a little bit as far as how to get a degree and pursue that as a career, but big in sciences. Anatomy, biology, those are your key spots as far as education. But find a school that you can go into and kind of get a background in that. Coming out now, you have to have an entry-level master's degree in athletic training. So there's not as many schools that actually offer that right now. Hopefully it'll grow. In South Carolina, I think there's only 2. Currently that offer that master's degree in athletic training. But you get an undergraduate degree, bachelor's degree in something science related, Potentially, you go to one of those schools and you go 3 years, get your prerequisites done, and you can get into the master's program, and then you finish up there.
So, like, what is the day in life of an athletic trainer? Like, what do you go through and all that?
Well, so it depends on your setting, but for me personally, being here at the high school, you know, it's kind of a mad rush right after school, right? You're an athlete. You've seen it in there. Everybody that's injured coming in, getting, whether it's treatment, getting taped up for practice, just kind of getting ready. It's kind of a madhouse for the first hour or so right after school before practices start. But then, you know, things kind of slow down. If there's somebody that's injured that's not practicing, we can do some rehab with them. You know, you can spend a little bit more time one-on-one with those people and try to get them better. And then just being out at practices and being there, making sure nobody gets hurt, or if they do get hurt, kind of checking them out, evaluate that injury and determine what's going on with it and what we need to do to help them either get better or get them back going. So for me personally, then my mornings, I work for the hospital, and they put us here at the schools. But so I've kind of got a little office at the hospital in the mornings, and I'm there and meeting with our doctors kind of back and forth if we've got somebody going in to see them, or if I need to set up an appointment with the doctor for somebody. That's kind of what I'm doing in the mornings. So
what was the scariest treatment you had to do, you know, like while being on the field? I was thinking it was the Ronda Rousey situation, but I don't know. So
that's a good question.
Well, obviously that's the worst situation for an athletic trainer ever. You know, having an athlete die, it's something that you don't ever want to think about happening. Something that in that instance that we really didn't know about and couldn't really prevent that, unfortunately. But it obviously that's the worst. But just kind of some, for a lot of people ask me, what's the worst injury, you know, you've kind of seen and stuff. A lot of the injuries that happen, you don't really see anything with them. You know, they're kind of in the joint, an ACL tear, for instance. I mean, that's a pretty serious injury. It takes, you know, 6 months minimum to a year to recover from. Same with some throwers with a shoulder injury. It may take 6 months to a year to come back. It's a long time for them, but you don't really see that as far as visually. So really, it's kind of fresh in my mind, but just last week we had a pretty bad injury with a fracture, lower leg, and it was kind of angulated and looked pretty gnarly to start with. But luckily, things got repaired, and I think he's going to recover just fine. So
since injuries have been an issue like this year, as student athletes, what are some ways like we can prevent injuries before they happen?
So depending on what we're talking about, but the biggest thing is strengthen. You know, get in the weight room, get stronger. The muscles support the joints, which is going to help you, you know, not have those joint injuries, those ligament injuries that we see with, say, the ACLs and the ankle sprains and some of that stuff. So, you know, we want to strengthen all the muscles around those joints to help protect it. That's a big thing. Get your flexibility, you know, stretch, maintain your flexibility, be flexible. A lot of times things can happen just from being tight and tense. And so those are a couple things that can really help out.
Do you try, like, telling them to eat certain stuff?
Nutrition's a big part. It helps both in recovery and, you know, potentially if you're not having the right nutrition, you know, you could help that cause some injuries. But for the most part, you know, high school kids are high school kids. You're going to eat what you're going to eat, right? You're going to go get the fast food. You're going to do this. Now, if somebody asks, yeah, I'll definitely try to help them and guide them the right way. But for the most part, you know, you guys are going to do what you're going to do. So it's hard to kind of guide you one way or the other. And cost is definitely a part of it. You know, if you're going to eat healthy, it typically costs a little bit more. I usually don't unless somebody asks.
Does it ever get like frustrating, like when a kid doesn't listen to like your advice?
Yeah, sometimes. It can, but you know, you just kind of keep going with it and say, hey, you, this is you. This is your body. What are you going to do? Do you want to get better? Do you want to do what's going to help you? And you just kind of keep working with them. Most of the time, they'll figure it out.
When having an injured player, what are some of the first steps you take?
First is just trying to get a good history and knowing what happened. You know, if I was actually there and saw it, obviously I know what happened, but getting their side of it, if they come in, you know, after a game or after a practice and I wasn't there, you know, what happened? How are you feeling? What kind of pain do you feel? Some of that stuff. If they can identify exactly where they're hurting, that helps a little bit. So those are kind of the first steps.
So what challenges have you faced over the years of becoming an athletic trainer?
I think some of it's just kind of dealing with the changes in, just over time, how some of our athletes, you know, it seemed like in the past maybe an athlete wouldn't let you know that something was hurting them. And now sometimes every little thing, some of them are coming in and saying, well, this, you know, my finger hurts where – or my, I got hit on my arm and it hurts. And, you know, some of these little bruises and things like that, yeah. That you kind of deal with. But it's good. I'm here. That's what I'm here for. And I can, if somebody's, you know, worried about something, we can, you know, hopefully set their mind at ease if it's just something little. But maybe it's not, and we need to look into it a little bit more. So,
what is the sport you get the most injuries from?
I think it really varies. Football obviously is it's a contact sport. We've got a lot of kids playing. I mean, I guess we've probably got close to 100 athletes out there. So just in numbers, it's probably football, but, soccer's pretty high too. They've got contact, they're running, cutting, changing directions. You get some sprains, strains, potential ligament tears and things like that with soccer. Shoot, the runners even have trouble because it's just all that repetition doing the same thing over. And a lot of our runners, whether it's track or cross country, they run all the time. So, you know, they don't get a lot of time off. But just in sheer numbers, probably football.
When being an athletic trainer, what are some of the things you want others to know about this specific position?
Well, to start off with, I think a lot of people hear athletic trainer and they think personal trainer, or they think, you know, you're in the weight room with, you know, working with our athletes, getting strength and things like that. I think people need to know that athletic trainers are healthcare providers, and that's kind of where we are. We work with injuries, you know, and treatment, rehab of the sports injuries, and where we do some strengthening, it's more either preventative or we're looking for the healthcare side of things and not necessarily, you know, in the weight rooms.
So a lot of your time is spent around sports. What are some hobbies that you, or some things you like to do outside of sports?
More sports. So if I go in the summertime, me and my son have a trip every summer. We've been doing this for last several years. We go back. I grew up in Southwest Iowa and in Nebraska. So the College World Series is in Omaha, Nebraska. And so we go back for the College World Series, watch a few college baseball games there. And usually either on our trip there or on our trip back here, we'll make a couple stops at some Major League Baseball games and try to see two or three games on the trip. So that's one thing. I do try to get out and golf every once in a while. I'm not very good, but I enjoy getting out there and hitting a ball. Try not to lose one.
What was it like growing up north?
Well, the biggest thing that I tell people, you know, they ask, would you ever want to go back there? And this, and I said, shoot, I don't care if I never see snow again. I scooped enough as a kid, you know. My dad, when it's snowing, go out, you got to shovel the
He made you do it?
Yeah. That's what they had kids for, you know. You go shovel the sidewalks and clear it out.
No.
Yeah, we had snow. People that had a little bit of money had snow blowers. You know, I was a snow blower. You get the shovel and you shovel the sidewalks. And I've shoveled enough of it. I don't care to do it ever again. So we don't have to worry about that too much here.
How do you manage your time between spending time with family and being at work majority of the time?
That is tough. You have to have family that understands what your job is. And because, you know, with games, depending on the time of the year, you know, I could be here 9, 10 o'clock at night a lot, almost every day. So when my son was growing up, I tried to have him come up here kind of the same as Coach E's kids. You know, they're here at practice running around. Well, my son was up here running around with me a little bit too. And so I was able to spend time there. Just having family that understands your job and what you're doing. And they come to games and you're able to see them there some too. But that's kind of just the understanding part.
So does being an athletic trainer, like, does it affect any of your family time?
Yeah, it does. I mean, the normal 9-to-5 job doesn't exist. My job goes from, you know, my mornings is fairly free, but that's when they're working. So my job really is from the time school's out, I get here at school between 2 and 2:30, and I'm here till 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. So, you know, I get home and it's bedtime. So, it does affect it, but again, if everybody kind of has that understanding what you do, they know where you're at, and we talk and got phone calls and this. I'm not busy all the time, but I'm here. So, you know, you can always give a phone call or something if you need something, talk to them.
All right, we'd like to thank you for your time. Is there any, like, shout-outs you would like to make? Anybody, players, staff?
So, nah, just shout-out to all my kids, my former Red Foxes and current Red Foxes. You know, I'll take care of them all, and I kind of do think of them that way. They're all my kids. So shout out to all our athletes around here.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We would like to welcome to the show Sierra Ganey, who was the player of the week from last week.
Welcome to the show, Sierra Ganey.
Thank you.
So how's your day so far?
It's good.
That's good. So who is your hero in your life? Like, who is someone you look up to?
Definitely my mom. I look up to her a lot.
Why? Like, is she hardworking?
Yeah, she pushes me to do my best and everything. And she always is determined to do everything.
What is a special highlight or, like, a special moment that happened in your life?
Probably last summer going to Orlando for club volleyball.
How did it make you feel?
Good, because it was, like, something I wouldn't have gotten to experience.
Was it fun?
Yeah.
That's good.
How has COVID affected your life?
I haven't really gotten to see, like, much of my older family recently.
So have you caught it?
No.
All right. How long have you been playing your sport?
7 years.
Is this, like, your favorite sport?
Yeah.
What made you start wanting to play this sport?
Honestly, like, just for fun, because I was young, and then I realized I liked it a lot.
So. Would you try to, like, you know, like, people watch videos of somebody else doing this?
Yeah, sometimes. I watch, like, college.
Oh, okay.
What are some things you enjoy doing besides sports?
Seeing my friends and going to the beach.
You go to the beach often?
Sometimes, when I can.
What you do? You play volleyball in the sand or something?
No.
Oh, all right.
What was the hardship in your life you had to overcome?
Probably just doubting myself. I don't have, like, a specific thing.
When you doubted yourself, like, what made you feel better about, like, not being, like?
Yeah, just, like, knowing that you got to push through it and the outcome will be better.
Did you have somebody you was able to talk to?
Yeah, most of the girls on my team, like, we just push each other.
I have a question. So I've been watching the games. Like, when y'all are playing, I noticed y'all communicate a lot more than the other teams. How does that, like, affect the way y'all play?
It helps to, like, know who has the ball and who's going to get it, and it helps with the confusion a lot.
Is this, like, the toughest sport you play? Like, did you play any other sport besides volleyball?
I played softball, but...
So, like, what sport is harder?
softball? I'd say both of them are hard in their own way.
How many years did you really play softball?
Probably like 3 or 4.
All right, to the topic of the week, maintaining academic and extracurricular activities. Start it off.
So a couple ways I do, I have a good study space with no distractions. It really helps, like, you know, when no one's around, you can just, like, have a clear mind while you're studying. I communicate with my teachers, like, emails and stuff, if I need to ask questions, or I just talk in class. And I set aside, like, some time for me just to enjoy myself, you know, kick back, watch TV. So I'm not, like, always focused on school, but I'm pretty much always focused on school anyway.
The way I maintain it is when I have a lot of work to do, I try to take breaks so I won't get too overwhelmed with work. So I take like 5 or 10 minute breaks in between. And I use my support system. My daddy, he supports me a lot, and that what made me want to push harder. My mom do too, but my daddy, he always just tell me to keep pushing. And I just reward myself, like I give myself a pat on the back because of how hard I be working.
My way is making the most of your free time, like advisory, after practice. Mainly doing advisory, though, because, like, advisory is, like, you know, you go in there, and advisory is basically for, like, extra help and all that stuff. So I basically, like, do most of my work in there and try to get it done. But if not, like, after practice, you know, go home, wash up and all that. And sometimes I don't go to sleep until, like, late because, like, it's, like, a lot of work and stuff like that that needs to be done. And it's basically, like, hard work and dedication that you got to do, you know. If you want to play the sport you love, if you want to do good things in life, you know, it takes hard work and dedication. So, and another thing I do is set a schedule and stick with it, you know. I try to set different schedules, like, all right, so, like, football. Before football practice, we have, like, I think, like, an hour before practice. So, you know, I try to make, like, most of that time before practice start and try to do, like, mainly, like, the big stuff so I can get to the little stuff and know how to do the big stuff later and stuff like that. Yeah.
What are some ways you maintain academic and extracurricular activities?
I agree with him. I think making the most of your free time really helps so you don't have to try to cram everything, like, after practice or stuff. So I try to get most of my work done during school.
You do any of it at the house?
Sometimes. I do most of it here.
Do you got a specific schedule that you run through, or
it just falls into place? Usually I just do all my work at school and then go to practice after school,
so you can just chill when you get home.
Yeah,
that's the way to do it.
Yeah. Do you have any shout outs, like maybe teammates, coaches?
I'd like to shout out Brooke Isgett.
Seen that coming. Is that all?
Yeah.
All right, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I would like to shout out Tristan.
You took my pick. I want to shout out Jameer. I love you, man.
I would like to shout out the people that I do the podcast with, even though they aggravating sometimes, but we still get it done.
Hey, I got another shout out. I want to shout out Coach English, you know, for putting this whole class together. I love you. Thank you for listening once again. Remember, you can listen to the Hartsville Sports Network on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and of course, the home of the Red Foxes, hhsredfoxes.com. I'm your host, Andrew Jaworski, with
Demaya Bishop
and Antonio Hicks, and we're out. Boom! We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.